Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. Okay, be seated. Now, the younger ones of you who are here from Day 24-7, it's good that you are here this morning because God's going to do a special thing in your life. Where are you? Wave to me, those of you who normally... Where are you all? Some of you are at the back, okay. Right, so as you probably know, quite a number of members of staff, 10 of them are off at an important conference this weekend, which is likely to have a good impact on the church in the future. And also, of course, the students have finished their term. That's why we're a little bit light this morning. Now, the younger ones in J24-7 are going to hear all about God calling Mary to be God's son. And actually, that's where we're going to begin. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm reading from the Truth Version, that mightily anointed version that appeared from somewhere. We've been having quite a sort of ongoing discussion in the Bible school this last term about predestination and free will, because, of course, Scripture believes in both. To the reason, that's impossible, but to God, nothing is impossible. And actually, the purpose that God had for Mary is a very, very good example of this. In chapter 1 of Luke, the angel Gabriel comes and appears to Mary, as we all are very familiar with. And in verse 30, he says, "There is no need to fear, Mary, for God is pleased with you. You are to become pregnant and will give birth to a son you are to call Jesus. He will be great and will become known as the Son of the Most High God, who will place him on the throne of his ancestor David." Now, there's absolutely no question that God chose Mary. He didn't choose anybody else. He chose Mary. If you want to put it in these terms, this was her destiny. God had predestined that she should be the mother of his son when he became man. She was perplexed by this, as I suppose anybody would be in that situation. And she said, "How will this happen? I'm still a virgin." So in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel said, "and the power of Most High God will overshadow you. So the child you bear will be holy and called the Son of God." Now notice, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Although Gabriel had announced to Mary that she was going to be the mother of God's son, the Spirit had not yet come upon her. The seed had not yet been planted in her womb to enable her to become the mother of Jesus. Why not? Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. Let it be to me according to your word, according to your will." See, the Spirit of God would not come upon Mary until first she consented to what God had said. It was his predestined call upon her life. He didn't choose anybody else, he chose Mary. But still the purpose of God could not be fulfilled in her till she consented to his will. Free will. And this is how God operates, actually, in the life of every one of us. He has a calling on your life. And even you younger ones here, God is going to bless you in a very special way later in the meeting. Because God has a call upon your life too. I was about 10 years old when I first understood God had called me. I didn't know then I would be a preacher. I didn't know what kind of ministry I would have in the future. But I did know that God had called me. And he doesn't always make all his plans known to us when he first calls us. Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says to them, I am a prisoner for the Lord's sake. He knew what it was to actually have to face the cost of being obedient to the call of God on his life. And I encourage you to live in a way that is worthy of this great calling you have received from him. If you translate the Greek literally, live up to your high calling. Because God has a high calling on every single Christian. He lifts us out of the darkness of the world with all its sin and disobedience and rebellion against the purposes of God. He lifts us up out of that and places us in Christ. He places us out of the darkness into the light. He has lifted us up. The scripture even says he sees us seated with Christ now in heavenly places because he has such a high calling upon our lives. And then Paul says, each one of us is given the particular grace we need to fulfill our calling. For it is Christ himself who imparts this grace to us. Mary was afraid when the archangel first appeared to her. She was no doubt completely awestruck at what he was saying about her becoming really the mother of the Messiah. It would have been totally beyond her natural understanding. And yet, she had such a heart after God, which of course is why he chose her and prepared her for this call, that she was willing to consent to what the angel was saying. That enabled the will of God then to be outworked in her life. We see this all the way through Scripture. You think of Moses. God spoke to him out of a burning bush. Now, that's not the experience of every believer. In fact, in Scripture, Moses is the only one that God spoke to in that way. Why? Because he had a particular destiny for Moses. He was to go back to Egypt to lead the people of Israel out of their bondage into the freedom and ultimately to the promised land that God had for them. Moses was very reluctant. He did not want to go back to Egypt for all kinds of reasons that we don't need to go into now. He did everything he could to try to persuade God that he was the wrong person for the job. But who knows, God never makes a mistake. He never calls the wrong person to the wrong job. He always calls the right person because he knows who it is who will fulfill that call. Moses said, you know, I'm not a speaker. I'm no good at speaking in public. just like many Christians think they're not any good speaking in public. But if God calls you to do it, he'll give you the grace to do it. So, you know, Moses was encouraged by God. He said, well, Aaron's on his way to meet you, and Aaron can go and he'll keep you company. But when it actually came to the business of confronting Pharaoh, who did the speaking? You see, it was Moses. Actually, Moses and Aaron at first, but then it was Moses. Moses took over because Moses was God's man for the job. He was called, and God knew he hadn't made a mistake. Moses sometimes made mistakes. You remember, he wasn't allowed to enter into the promised land because he was disobedient at one point, even though God had used him so mightily. You know, God keeps his standards, doesn't he? He's not going to compromise his standards for anyone, even Moses. So, despite the lack or the lapse sometimes that people that God calls have, they're not all perfectly obedient, because he knows that he's having to use imperfect people to fulfill his purpose. But still, they get the job done. Why? Because they are called by God, and because he gives them the grace to fulfill their call. I'm very well aware of how much I have needed the grace of God in my own life to fulfill the call that God has had on me. Because if anybody had told me when I was 10 of how God would use me, I would have thought that is totally way impossible. I wouldn't even consider it, wouldn't even have wanted it. In fact, even when I was in the midst of revival and God first talked to me about my voice being heard among the nations, I didn't want that either. I just wanted to be faithful and obedient to what God was saying in that church where I was pastor, so that the move of God could continue there in the way that it was unfolding. But you see, God had another purpose, and he said to me, well, what I'm doing now is only a preparation for what I'm going to do with you in the future. And this is true for every one of us. So, this isn't about me this morning, it's about you. It's about God's call on your life. So, what is God's call on your life? Thank you for all those answers. That was very informative. There's a sort of a stunned silence. How would you actually answer that question? If you were given a piece of paper and a pen now and you had to write down the call of God on your life, what would you write? Well, there are two levels at which we could answer this question, couldn't we? You could say, well, God's call upon my life is to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. God's call on my life is to love others as he has loved me. You could say, well, God's call on my life is to be obedient to his will and purpose, but that doesn't answer what his will and purpose is. But it does state, well, I need to be obedient because he is my Lord, and he can only be Lord in my life if I'm obedient to his call on my life. So we could answer along those lines. We could say, well, God's call upon my life is to be a person of love. It is to be a person of faith. God's call on my life is to trust him with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. We could answer all these things. We could say also, well, every day of my life, God puts me in a particular situation, or I find myself in a particular situation. So God's call upon my life is to trust him no matter what that situation is. We could say, well, God causes different people to cross my path every day, in my job, among my neighbors, when I'm out shopping, just interrelating with people. Lots of people cross my path, come into the orbit of my experience, if you like, every day. And God's call upon my life is to be a witness to them of love, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, to encourage them. We could answer this question along all those lines, and all those things would be true. But then we're left with just this little sense of, but is there anything else? Does God have a ministry for me? You know, we sort of think of ministry. Ministry is simply service. What particular kind of service does God have for you? Because the scripture says that in the church, in the body of Christ, there are many different ways of serving, but all the same Lord, the same Spirit, who anoints each to fulfill their particular calling. So, as a member of Kingdom Faith, God has a service for you. A service within the church, and as part of the church, a service out there in the world, wherever that takes you as an individual. This is part of our calling. And one of the responsibilities of leadership in a church is to help people discover the different ways in which God will use them. Now, some of you are very well aware of that. You are in all kinds of ministry groups or service groups. You are fulfilling all kinds of activity. Some of you just personally. I'm often amazed when I hear of what some people in the church are doing, just very quietly getting on with fulfilling the call of God on their life without making a big fuss about it. And lots of things are going on like this all the time that we may be unaware of. But other people's lives are being impacted and in powerful ways as a result. What is happening? God is giving those particular people grace to use them in the way that he has called and chosen them. How did they receive that call? Did they have a burning bush? Did they have an archangel appear to them? I very much doubt it. But they just had a sense within their heart, this is something I must do. This is something God has for me. And when you get a call like that from God, you can't push it away. You can be like Moses and try to push it away. You can be like Mary and not understand why he should have called you in this particular way or chosen you to do this particular thing. And yet, you just cannot get away from it. It's not that the Holy Spirit is like a nagging wife. He doesn't keep on and on and on and on, but he's just sown something that is from God. That still small voice, that inner conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is something I must do. And when you step out in obedience, you find that there is all the grace you need to do it. Some people make the mistake of hearing a call like this from God. Perhaps they don't even recognize that this is what it is, a call from God. And then they think, well, I'm not equipped. I'm not able. I don't have sufficient anointing or whatever. So they think, well, I must wait for God to do something. No, no. If God has called you, then the grace that you need is there and is sufficient for you as soon as you step out in obedience to what He's wanting you to do. You see, as soon as Mary consented, then she could conceive. And as soon as you consent to the will and the purpose of God, He births in you the outworking of His will. But He will never force you. He didn't force Mary to become pregnant. He didn't force Moses to go back to Egypt. It is true that God has certain powers of persuasion, but He never forces us. He always waits for our willing response to what He has said. So, God wants every believer, every single believer, to live with a sense of destiny. That God has a call on my life. It might be to be an intercessor, to be a person really given over to prayer for other people. It can be a calling to evangelism, to reach a particular group of people that are lost and in danger of an eternity of condemnation and damnation and separation from God unless they come to faith in Jesus. It can be an act of service to love and encourage and help, care for a particular group of people that are in need. But it is a call from God. And there is particular grace from God to enable that. You know, there are a lot of people out in the world. I believe they have a call from God. They might not know Him, but they have a call from God. Lots of doctors, nurses, people that care for others. You see the love, you see the devotion, you see the care. They are actually fulfilling something that is beyond their natural inclination. That something has worked in their hearts to cause them to really lay down their lives for others in a way that some Christians don't, actually. Some of them are a great example to believers. That, of course, doesn't give them salvation. Salvation only comes from faith in Jesus Christ. And even though there are a lot of people like that out in the world, serving and loving and caring for people, they don't necessarily have the grace of God that is available to believers. And that's where there is another quality that can exist within those who trust in the Lord. That we're not just caring for people, not just loving them and serving them in a way that is necessary, but there is another dimension of God, of Jesus, of His life, of His love, of His power, because of that grace that is working with us and for us. Right, now, I'm not going to preach for long because we have all the younger ones here this morning. But let's put it this way. Every one of us, even you younger ones who are at school every day, all kinds of things happen every day. Some things are good, some not so good. Some things we want, some things we would much prefer to avoid. But what Jesus says is He is with you always. See? And because you believe in him, even though you might be like I was 10 or even younger, some of you, you know that Jesus loves you. You know that you have a mum and dad, but you also have a heavenly Father, and you have a Jesus who is your Lord, who loves you, and he's always with you. Now, it doesn't matter what situation you are in, you can actually hear God speak to you. Not a booming voice from heaven, "I am the Lord your God, listen to me." No, it doesn't happen like that. But it's simply Jesus saying, "I'm here. I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm with you." And then if you listen, you'll also hear him say, "My grace is with you." Now, what does that mean? It means I give you all the power. I give you, it's a gift, I give you all the power, all the wisdom that you need for this situation. I'm with you. My grace I give to you. You're not alone. You don't have to depend upon yourself. You depend upon my grace, upon my life, upon my power. And you know, when you do that, when, like Mary or like Moses, you respond, you say, "Thank you, Jesus." Then you know you don't have to be afraid. And you know that God will enable you to say what you need to say, to do what you need to say, to do. Paul explains it like this. Let me just read you these few verses, then we're going to pray in a moment. He says this: "Live in a way that is worthy to this great calling you have received from him." I mean, isn't it a wonderful privilege to have the Son of God with you wherever you go? You know, at school, at college, at home, in your workplace, wherever you are, to have the Son of God with you. I mean, isn't that an amazing privilege? He says, "I'm with you always." It's stunning, isn't it? Absolutely stunning. There he is. And isn't it even more remarkable that he says, "My grace is with you, and my grace is always sufficient for you. Even in your weakness, my grace is sufficient for you." Isn't it amazing? Isn't it an amazing privilege? And so how do we trust his grace? Well, how do we trust him in these situations? Well, this involves remaining humble and gentle, not getting all worked up and angry and wild, but just remain humble, gentle, being patient and sensitive to the needs of others out of your love for them. Do everything you can to maintain the unity you have with other believers in the power of the Spirit by remaining at peace with them, not judging them, not condemning them, not getting upset and taking offense, but forgiving, maintaining that unity. Because just as Jesus is with you, he's with them. Amen? There is only one Lord, and we all share. Oh, for there is one body of Christ and only one Holy Spirit, and we all share in the one hope to which we are called in Christ. He is over all of us, and he works through all of us, and his life is in all of us who are believers. Isn't it mighty? So, you can fulfill God's call upon your life every day of your life. There doesn't have to be some, "Well, I'm calling you to be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, a pastor or a teacher." No, it doesn't have to be at that level. But whatever situation you're in, every day, Jesus is saying, "I'm there, I'm here, I'm with you. Trust me, trust my grace. I'll give you wisdom.
I'll give you the words to speak. I'll show you what to do. Just get used to living with me like this. And you see, what grows out of that is your service, your ministry. God begins to show you the particular ways in which He will use you for His glory. Simple message, isn't it? But it has profound consequences. And that's the thing about the Christian life. The simplest things are the most profound things. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.